Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Are you looking for a football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with a fog of analytics or insult your fandom with phony hot takes? I'm Dan Hanses.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting for.
Heed the Call covers the entire NFL, not just the same five or six teams you're sick of, delivering news, weekly power rankings, plus previews and recaps of every matchup.
Yes, we cover your team, and we do it with a touch of mirth, because football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcasts wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a successful weekend for the Mets as they took two out of three. Should have swept the series, but they took two out of three against the Angels. A step in the right direction. You know, now go out and win another series. Put a couple of series wins under the belt and go from there. On the positive side of things, we brought up Carson Benj and the word that Gary Cohen used to describe his catch, which was, of course, pulchra de gugubis, which was a word that I've never heard of, but apparently it means a beautiful. And it was a beautiful catch that Benj made in the ninth inning. And he's had a couple of them this year where they've been just sensational. He's starting to hit, you're seeing the defense, you're starting to see some of the reasons why Carson Benj was highly thought of in the Mets organization and around baseball. So he's been a major bright spot. Clay Holmes, can't say enough about this guy, how awesome he's been. And I know it's open season on Stearns. I know it's open season on the Mets right now, but you have to credit Stearns for Clay Holmes because he identified him as a player that can transition from a reliever to a starter. Year one was good. I think all things considered, Clay Holmes was good in his first year with the Mets, as good as his first year as a starting pitcher. Year two, a month or so in, he's been incredible. Another strong performance today, ERA 1.35, and he's going deep in the games. Like, he almost got to the seventh inning today. Like, it's no longer five innings. Like, he's going six, seven innings and has a sparkling ERA. And has been, let's be real, the ace of the staff. And the Mets rotation right now is starting to truly take shape. Obviously, they sent Senga away, IL, whatever the case may be. And now you have, of course, Holmes, who's been brilliant. Peralta, and I get it, the five or six innings, you'd want a little more than that, but you still feel confident every time Peralta's on the mound. He's a pro. He's got good stuff. McClain, we know what the future is for him and the present as well. Like, there's still room to grow, but you feel confident you can win a game when he's on the mound. I thought Christian Scott looked great the other night, especially with the strikeout stuff. Certainly giving you a better effort than what Senga would have given you. And now that leaves Peterson. And the Mets are planning on starting an opener. It won't be Myers because he pitched, but it will be somebody. And Peterson is the one guy in this rotation that you're looking at to turn things around and get back to maybe not the all-star form that he had, although that would be amazing. But this used to be a guy in David Peterson that you trusted. He was a gamer. Like, there was very few people on the Mets, if any, that you would trust more on the mound than him. And he just hasn't been able to find it. Whether it was the second half of last year, certainly down the stretch, and the first month or so of this season. Just can't seem to find it. But if they can tighten it up with Peterson, you're now looking at a starting five with the Mets that can get you excited, that could win you ball games. Peralta, Holmes, McClain, Scott, and if Peterson can turn it around, being the fifth starter, essentially. And if you have to piggyback, if you have to go opener, if you have to do different things to get Peterson going, by all means, by any means necessary at this point. Raley looking really strong again, as he's been their most reliable guy, not named Edwin Diaz, ever since Raley came back from injury last year. AJ Minter should return on this road trip. I think you feel confident with the bullpen, like this entire pitching staff. I think confidence is building, not just the pitchers themselves, but us as fans. Now, as far as the offense, look, Vientos hit a couple of home runs. Benj is starting to hit. You know Soto's going to hit. Bichette, obviously, you expect more, especially with runners in scoring position. And he hasn't been the guy that we all thought was arriving here from Toronto. One of the best all-around hitters in the sport. One of the most clutch, if not the most clutch hitters in the sport. That guy has not shown up yet. I expect him to, but he hasn't shown up yet. And obviously, he came up in some big spots, especially in game two of the series, wasn't ultimately able to get it done. And that was one of the reasons why they weren't able to sweep this series. Another reason, and this is, as far as Mendoza not challenging, that's not just on him. And I don't want to come off like I'm totally defending the guy, because I get it. It's open season on Mendoza, and we'll get to his job status in just 1 second. I know there are a lot of people that are frustrated. There are some that think he's checked out. There is a replay guy on the Mets, though, that says, hey, you should replay this. Now, I'm gonna say it's collectively that they should get it right, meaning if it's a situation like it was on Saturday where it was clear, and that was a run, too. Like, they could have kept a run off the board, and it ultimately would have, I think, been the difference, obviously, in the game. And the Mets would have won. They would have swept. But that's not on the shoulders of Mendoza. Not fully, at least. Like, he's being told, hey, you should challenge it, you should not challenge it. Like, he could have seen it with the naked eye, but there's a reason you have an eye in the sky to help you out with that stuff. There's enough things you got to worry about, and then you got to worry about that, too, when somebody is designated to look at that and tell you whether or whether or not to challenge it. But then the one today, same thing. But, yeah, when it's obvious, but we have the benefit of replay and looking it over and over again, which Mendoza himself doesn't have, but somebody that does is supposed to tell him what to do. And then he makes a decision. And I would assume managers don't override. Like, if somebody says, hey, you should challenge this, I doubt they say, no, we're not going to. Like, you trust the eye in the sky. You trust your people that are looking at this to whether or not you're going to challenge it or not. Now, as far as, but overall, should have been a sweep. Would have been nice to be a sweep. They'd be 3-0 in May. Something to build on. But 2-1 in a series, you take it against the Angels, as far as you take it winning a series. And obviously they battled back in these games, which you like to see. And I know the Angels don't have a great pitching staff, nothing to hang your hat on, but still, you beat bad teams. That's what you're supposed to do. And the only way to dig out of the situation they're in is to beat bad teams. Like, you have to take advantage of the Angels. The Rockies came into Citi Field, swept the Mets, which I think took a lot of the... That was the one, even more than the 12-game losing streak. Like, I was thinking about this today. Because obviously, positive Tommy. I don't think I'm alone on the island, but there's not a lot of people on this island with me. Like, I got to walk a while to find somebody on the island. And then I go, oh, someone's here. Like, people literally now on social media will just tag me in positive mess posts. Like, no one... And there are not many, obviously, people posting positive things. But when they do, I get tagged in it. Which is nice, but... There aren't a lot of positive Mets takes or tweets out there right now. So I'm definitely, if not the only person on the island, there aren't many other people with me. It's me, a volleyball, and maybe two or three other dudes. Two or three other Met fans fighting the good fight. But if they can get healthy, which they have a bunch of guys out. We certainly don't know fully when we're going to get Lindor back or when we're going to see Lindor. And that's a huge... I mean, listen, you lose Soto for... Like, you could say about Luis Robert Jr., you could say about Polanco, they came with injury concerns or injury histories. Soto is a guy that never gets hurt. Lindor never gets hurt. So your two-star players that you expect to be in the lineup 158 games in a year... Both have missed time in the first month of the year. to go along with Polanco, to go along with Luis Robert Jr., and now Mauricio is out, so you're down to your third shortstop. Obviously, Bichette goes over to short, and Bichette's played a good defense so far this year. Needs to hit, especially with runners in scoring position, and I expect him to do so just based on the track record and the age and the incentive, because if you have a big year, you're going to opt out. Probably going to opt out either way, but you'd have a better shot of getting a bigger contract off a monster season.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
But as far as the statuses of Mendoza and Stearns, and I talked about this for weeks. Oh, let me just finish off the one point. So I was trying to figure out in my brain what was the turning point for a lot of Met fans. I don't think it was a 12-game losing streak. I don't. I think it was the series against the Rockies. That broke a lot of people. Because I felt like there was enthusiasm when they took 2 out of 3 against the Twins. Colorado comes into town. They sweep the Mets. And I think that broke a lot of people. That's where I saw even positive people starting to turn. Which I get it. It's not easy being positive when things are like this. You feel like although when they do well and I say things that are going great, people seem to grasp onto that. It's when people like positive Tommy when the Mets are winning and only when the Mets are winning, which is kind of unfair. So I should only be positive when they're winning games and when they're losing, I should say nothing? I don't buy that. I think you'd be positive win or loss. Try to find the positives. Or just try to fight the good fight. Doesn't mean you can't point things out that, and I know people want to make a lot about the Melendez situation and pinch hitting Slater, which I brought up last week. You know, there are times where I think you throw the binder out, you manage with your eyes. And Melendez has been one of their best and reliable hitters. Slater just got here. He's got a track record against lefties, but still, I think in that situation, you know, it's one thing if you're 15 games over 500, you're rocking and rolling, you've had a lot of success through the years, and like the Yankees. The Yankees will do things that feels analytically based or just whatever. Aaron Boone will make decisions that people feel like is coming from, this is a better way to put it. Aaron Boone makes decisions that people feel like are coming from Cashman. Well, when you've had the success that they've had regular season-wise and even playoffs and getting there and winning rounds and stuff like that, getting to the World Series a couple years ago, as much as it's frustrating to fans, you could live with it more. When you're in a situation like the Mets, where they did miss October last year, and they are currently where they're at right now, record-wise, I think riding the hot hand instead of sticking to a certain plan is probably the better course of action. And you're certainly, and look, it's clear that they, because I said this going into, what was it? The series against the Nationals. Because like I said, that series against the Rockies broke a lot of people. And it was fire Mendoza alert. Like it was like it seemingly at its peak. And everybody was expecting him to get fired on the off day. Or then they were expecting him to get fired after the homestand. Neither one happened. But I brought it up before I went away for the weekend here. And by away, I mean just not at the radio station. I didn't really go anywhere. I was home. But I was away from here. I said, Steve Cohen's got to come out and say something. He doesn't have to do a one-on-one interview. He doesn't have to do anything long form, but he does have Twitter. He does have a check mark, so he can write a long statement, and he needs to address the fans, and he needs to talk about Mendoza and Stearns. I think that's because he tweeted a couple of weeks ago about green shoots and trying to find the positives in a negative, which I appreciate as positive, Tommy. So I'm all about that. I do it after every game. So it was nice for Steve Cohen to step up and kind of be arm in arm with positive Tommy for a night. But since then, we haven't heard from him. So I thought it was important that he address everybody and kind of say, all right, this is what's going on. Because fans are pissed. Fans are frustrated. Not only in this season, but they're worried about the future. They're worried about a lot of stuff right now. There's high anxiety amongst my fellow Met fans to go along with high frustration. It's like the combination of both, which is not a combination you want to have. And I could throw all the positivity out there, but a lot of times I'm told to shut up. And I don't own the Mets. So I could do my part, but the owner's got to do his part, who obviously carries way more weight. So whether it was a tweet, whether it was something to one of the reporters, something. Now, we didn't quite get that, but we did get clarification on what was going on and just what's going on with the manager, with David Stearns, sort of what their job security is right now and where they're headed, you know, for the, at least for right now. Let's put it that way. So I think that's important. Like, and I talked about this. Memorial Day is my benchmark. You know, that's my checkpoint. If it was me, I would wait till then, kind of see where the season's at, and then go from there. I wouldn't have done anything crazy early on. You know, just give the season a chance to breathe. But this was according to Anthony DeComo. And this is from David Stearns about Mendoza. Quote, "We know our record is not what we want, and we know we are capable of more. We don't view this as a manager problem, and we don't intend to make a change." Which is basically what I've been saying for a while. They don't intend to make a change. Now, things can change, but Cohen, his mindset, tweeting out positive things. Stearns has backed up Mendoza every step of the way. Soto vouched for Mendoza. Lindor vouched for Mendoza. They want stability in this organization. Stearns was hired to do a job. Mendoza was hired to do a job. Both are going to continue doing those jobs. Because DeComo went on to say, Steve Cohen has given David Stearns, quote, "at least some assurances," end quote, "that his job is safe." This is per Anthony DeComo. "Mets officials believe in the roster they've constructed and the process that led to them to this point, even if success is not followed." So both guys were hired to do a job, and Steve Cohen right now wants to see both of them complete that job. Now, is it possible that they hire a general manager to work with David Stearns? Yes. I think that's absolutely in the cards. But that's not something that we're going to see until down the line, whether that's a Carlos Beltran or somebody of that, you know, stature. But you're not seeing that in May. The team they've constructed, and I think they could trade four players, to try to get a bat in here, and they've already been reports that they're looking for a big bat. But Mendoza and Stearns, as I've been telling you all along, are going nowhere. Whether you agree with that or not, and most of you do not agree with it, that is the situation that is at hand. So it's not one of those things where I eat your broccoli because I told you so, it's good for you. I'm the bearer of bad news. And I've been the bearer of bad news for a while now for a lot of you because you want change. And I get the Phillies record since Mattingly took over, and I understand that if you fire a manager, it could spark a team. They are hoping Mendoza sparks the team. They are hoping he turns this team around, just like he did in 2024. That is the hope. And Stearns, like I said, they could hire somebody else in the offseason to work with Stearns, but David Stearns was brought in here to not only construct the roster that you see in front of you, but also to build up the minor league system, to have the pipeline to this team, to just create a organization and a franchise that doesn't just win one year or just doesn't have one successful season, one that has one year in and year out. And Steve Cohen has to balance that vision, the faith that he has in both of them, or the faith that he has in Stearns, and Stearns has the faith in Mendoza, so therefore Cohen has the faith in Mendoza. He has to balance that vision with my audience, my clientele, are furious. They're pissed. They're ticked. They want blood. They want change. They want a spark. Do I give them that? Do I try for that spark, or do I stick to the plan? Because I believe in the plan. I believe in the people that I've hired to do the job. Now, every man has a breaking point. Obviously, if things get uglier and uglier and uglier, it could force the hand of Steve Cohen. I don't even know if Memorial Day is even in play anymore. This sounds like a situation where, because 12-game losing streak, swept at home to the Rockies. Paint the picture. What, the Yankees crush him in the Subway Series? What would be, and that would be Steinbrenner-esque, where you're just like, oh God, we lost to the crosstown rival. Let's just make major changes. Like, there have been several moments this year where the Mets and any other team, we've already seen the Phillies do it, we've already seen the Red Sox do it. There have been a million situations so far in the first month, coming off of last year too, mind you, where the Mets, Steve Cohen, would have done this by now and fired Mendoza, and they haven't. And if anything, they've stood by him. Now, Stearns didn't meet the media. He just gave it to one reporter. And Cohen hasn't exactly said anything either and really hit the podium or went to Twitter. But they've said enough in their eyes. He's our guy. He's not going anywhere. And in the short term, the team won 2 out of 3. So if anything, Stearns and Cohen are feeling better this morning. Even if you're not feeling better, they're probably feeling better because they got a series win. And they're going to look to build on that for the rest of this road trip. So that's where we're at. And I know that disappoints a lot of people, that frustrates a lot of people, that angers a lot of people. And it's a very anxious, angry time for my fellow Met fans. And I feel that. Don't think I don't. And it is open season on the franchise, not only here on the radio station, which is totally understandable. I get it, of course. Podcasts, social media. Boy, I can't even hit that explore button without the Mets just being the butt of every joke, which is everything that Positive Tommy wants to turn around. And I look, help me help you. The Mets got to play better. Help me help you. But part of my mission is that my fellow Met fans don't get in on the joke and make fun of themselves, because then it's really like, what are we doing here? But I get it. The team has to play better. And the payroll being what it is and the record, the combination of that certainly doesn't help things. But for better or worse, I think they're seeing this through. They being Cohen. Seeing it through. And he's put a lot of his money, a lot of his reputation on the line here. And he, more than anybody, has that to lose. So if he has put that out on the line, we have to see it through. And like I've said a million times, sports is sold on hope. We watch sports for hope. We hope for better days. We hope for better days. And if it doesn't go our way, you hope that the owner makes the necessary changes, or the guys that he hired and he trusted live up to the billing that they had coming into this, which is Stearns, who was successful in Milwaukee. Not the ultimate success, but successful. And that he starts to, earn that reputation.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
fastest based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.